Every day. Listen, I need to do something. I don't do this much, but I cannot do it. When you first got up here, I saw something. And then you got all fired up and wowed, and I said, man, I know I saw that. I feel a little emotional. She said, I want you to hold your hubby's hand. I want to speak to you guys. I feel like I'm hearing the Lord very clear. And God is really doing something. And you know it. And it's not hype. It's not hype. It's not just, oh, he's fired up. We had a revival weekend. No, no, no. I saw this. I saw grace on your lives. And I heard the Lord say, I'm putting my heart inside you. My love for the youth. It's my love. Don't be afraid of it. It's going to feel overwhelming. Don't be afraid of it. It's already there. You already feel it. You're like, man, I love these. I have a vision for these kids. But it's God. The Lord's saying, it's what I've been and seen from the beginning. I'm putting it in you. I'm going to give you wisdom. Don't be afraid of this thing, because some people won't understand. They'll think you're too intense. It's just the beginning. God is doing something. I see this in this area. I see a sweeping of young people. Now watch this. It's going to look like Jesus is the cool thing to do. And it's just going to be like this. And it's going to bring, but it's not. It's not a fad. It's not just kids trying to be a part of something. He's doing something inside them. When you say, God's this, and it's going to be a Holy Ghost, and I don't even know if you know this, your spirit's so excited, you're prophesying, don't be afraid to speak what you see. Don't be afraid. I'm not even going to try to paint this out for you, because it sounds like hype. There is a move of God on these young people that's here, and you're going to see it grow like crazy grow, and you can't. Nobody's going to stop it. And it isn't because everybody's doing everything right. God's saying, I've come. I've seen your heart. I'm putting my love for these youth in you. And it's going to feel too much to bear at times. Don't fear it. Embrace it. And when you speak, God's going to move. When you prophesy, it's happening. I'm telling you. He's going to let you look into young people. You're going to see their stuff. You're going to know what to say, when to say. It's going to be a blur to you. But it's going to change lives. Now, guys, you don't understand what I'm seeing. I'm not even going to try to say it. I'm seeing a move of God here that's going to set some kind of standard, some kind of... He's done something in your heart. And this doesn't separate you from him, but he's a man. God's given him a grace. You're a lady. You can love him. People would. He's done something special in him. And he's done something special by putting you together. I see that right now. That's just good. This thing is so powerful. What God does here, it's sovereign. It's not because we got all the ducks in a row all the time. God just said, I've picked out your hearts, I've marked these youth, and I'm doing a thing, and nobody's stopping it. I'm saying that both. But it's not a ministry thing. It's not a church thing. It's my love. And they're going to see it. And I see God giving you, you're going to father something. You're going to be like, and I don't know if you asked for this, but God's saying, don't be afraid of this term. I don't even use this term much. You're going to father what some would try to call a movement. It's not a movement. It's what I'm doing. It's who I am. And people are going to come. It's bigger than I'm going to try to describe. Young people all over this area, their desires are going to change. Their lives are going to change. They're not going to have to try to be okay. I hear the Lord say, I'm pouring out my grace and causing eyes to see, hearts to know. Going to put down things and see them for what they are. Come over here and just be with me. I see the super spirit of encouragement. I see kids saving kids. Like crazy. You have no idea what I'm seeing. I'm not trying to over-exaggerate. I'm trying to be way under what I'm seeing. It's ridiculous. It's a fear and trembling thing for me because I don't do this a lot. I don't look for this. I'm a teacher, but yet this is all in my life. But I saw it when you stood up there and he said, I put my heart in him. And I went, yeah. And then you went crazy and you were up there. And he said, he's prophesying. He sees it. It's his heart. And I went, yeah. He ain't just a fired up young man. This thing's happening. You know it. It's bigger than we thought. Kids saving kids by the Spirit of God. Like turning each other's hearts. Kids grabbing somebody saying, stop that. No. Listen. And another one just crying and letting it go. I see it happening like, and I see it going out and becoming something that God does. And they're going to say, I think this thing started back in that damn urine area, and it ain't no stop. It's young people swept in. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. I see it. I see it. All right. Ah! Okay. You guys better stop. No, you guys need to stop. It's. I'm too fired up right now. I'll make a mistake. You guys stop. I don't know if you ever heard this, but you're too good. Yeah! Music's powerful, ain't it? And when it's coming from the heart to the Lord, you get that little music in the background, things ramp up, and it just changes things, man. I get my little CD in my bedroom, and it's serious. I haven't even come out like I really am. Only Jesus knows me like I really am. I would scare you. I close that door with him, it's on. It's him and me. He'll mess me up, touch me, love me, talk to me, and you can't take it. You think you're ready. You're not ready. You're never ready. It's amazing, but you want him to do it again. I've been on my bed in a fetus and shaking, feeling like I'm going to die because God's in the room, and I'm not afraid. It's not like I'm afraid. I'm just, he's holy and he's amazing, but he's given me a right to be in him. But sometimes if he just goes poof, you think you're ready. You see, I just want, and I am, I'm ready. I want him to do that stuff, but that music is, I had to settle down. I'm still settling down. That's why I'm rambling. The Bible says if I'm besides myself, it's for God. But if I'm of sound mind, it's for you. So I'm trying to get there right now. Because I'm still seeing that thing with these young people, you young people. And it's all. He said was so about that. We're not stereotyping, and we're not, generous and all whole nine. The old person has as much value and purpose and destiny as the young person, but God's doing something in these young people where they don't have to have some of the track records and get over and get past and be delivered and get all that stuff like some of us. Some of us, if we could go back now, knowing what we've known now, we'd be so different. We'd live different lives. If we could take the revelation we're standing in right now and go back to age 13, 14, 16, our lives would look totally different. It wouldn't even be a challenge like it was. And God's just going to bring young people to that place where they don't have to make all the mistakes and have the same testimonies we all had. And then one day say, well, I was this and I was using drugs and I had many partners. But God one day delivered me. That ain't going to be your story. It's going to be like, man, my friend got changed and I thought they were freaky and I stopped talking to them and they came to my house and I looked in their eyes and couldn't stop crying and I said, what are you doing to me? And they said, nothing, I love you. And all of a sudden I was praying in tongues. That's the stuff I'm seeing. And it doesn't have nothing to do with us, but we just get to be in here and father that thing and say, yay, keep loving, keep going, yay. Yay. Yeah. You willing to do that? Amen. Yeah. That's what I saw. I'm trying to explain what I saw because I was overwhelmed. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're touched and you're changed and you're 14. And all of a sudden, you're like, you're not like all the stuff we've all been through, guys. All of a sudden, you're actually fulfilled inside. You're actually solid in your mature, and you're living in a wisdom that some people that 28 and 30 didn't even arrive to. And all your needs are met because he's inside your heart and your life. And
I see it. You recorded that, maybe. I don't know, but you mark my words. That thing's already happening. I'm telling you, it's here. And it ain't a year from now. This thing is happening, man. I feel so sober and humbled in my heart by that. Yeah. Touch us, Jesus, huh? You know what's good about the rest of us folks that aren't 13 to 18 and 12 to 20? We can live Jesus just the same. We can be cheerleaders and examples and people of wisdom they can come to. We're not separate from this thing. We don't say, well, God's moving in the young people. What about you? He was in your bedroom this morning. Did you know that? He was in the bathroom when you were in there. Really? Yep, he didn't leave. He's right there. I'm so free. I just sit right on the potty, man. I'm serious. I don't like, excuse me, Lord. He just comes in with me. He's amazing. You know? Prophetic people, turn your vision off. Turn it off. Serious. It's. I think sometimes the reason God does some sovereign things like that and picks out a people group like that is because it's so much. There's so much trying to steal and rob. There's just a lot of stuff. I think it's more. Honestly, I'm not making an excuse for young people. I think it's more intense than when I was their age. And I think it's harder to be 15 than it was when I was 15. Economically and everything, it's different. And I just feel like Jesus is having compassion and mercy on that age group. And he's breathing something into their hearts and their spirits. And they're going to be a super encouraged generation. And I see the love for life and the desire for life so big in the young people in this area. You watch and mark my words. I don't know what it looks like, suicide looks like around here, but I see God. He's saying it to me right now, and I'm just speaking it. He's staying that thing. Like, it's stopping. I see him stopping suicides where these kids are going to have the value of life imparted to their heart. And even if they're being tempted and thinking and feeling, they're going to look around and say, wait a minute, there's something I'm going to miss out on. I want what I'm seeing. And somehow this sovereign move is going to even stay suicide. You watch. You check numbers. You look in the next 5-6 months and see if that thing didn't go like crazy down. All right? I'm just telling you, it's a sovereign thing. It's a God thing. And I don't just say this stuff when I'm preaching. I'm a teacher I love, but I'm telling you, I hope you're recording it. Because, well, if it ain't happened, don't ever invite me back and stone me when you find me. I know when I hear this stuff. There's a reverence down in me right now. It's just like God. I just heard that suicide thing. I'm telling you, he's staying and stopping suicide in these young people. It's not going to be an option. And they're going to run to their friends for advice and encouragement. And there's people out there that can tell them right things. That's what he's doing, man. And this core of kids you got, it's just awesome. You guys, you'll say, man, I was there from the beginning. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Don't you let anything disqualify or discourage your heart. It's such a lie. Jesus is doing something amazing. All right. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I don't know. I feel like I could just go get on my plane here today and fly home. I feel like I had church all weekend. I got to regroup. This thing won't let me go. Okay. You guys all right? Okay. We're all involved, all right? Go to Philippians 2 with me, would you please? Let's just do this thing. Listen, I'm going to nutshell the weekend without preaching 3 services or whatever. It's real simple. This Christianity thing is really simple, but it's deeply profound and life-changing, okay? Here's the deal. If you read the Bible, You choose to either believe the Bible or you don't. You can't pick and choose, throw some away. You either believe it or you don't. Humility tells you to believe it. Pride says whatever, and you live out of your own mind. But when you believe it, the lights start coming on and everything comes together like a jigsaw puzzle, like a painting. It's amazing. Like there's a song in my heart every day because of the gospel. Like I see it. So here's the nutshell of the gospel. Let's put the pieces together. God in the beginning made man in his image. When man went some other way and ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that he wasn't made for. He was made for innocence, purity, holiness, love, image. He wasn't made for the knowledge of good and evil. He was made in God. So when this voice came and suggested, eat the tree, you'll be like God, already were. Already were. Suggesting there's something lacking, something God held out on. Whatever it is, enticement, whatever. The more she listened to the voice, she ate the tree, Adam followed her. So long story short, the day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. We know he didn't fall over dead. So what died? The image died. His created value seemed lost. He got cut off from the vine. He got separated from God through eating a tree and becoming something he was never created for. The Bible says be excellent in what is good and innocent of evil. Be innocent of evil and excellent. That's the order. Be innocent of evil and excellent in what is good. Why? He wants to bring you back to that place. The Bible says, unless you become like a little. It's not long in childhood where children start losing their innocence, start getting self-conscious and aware of their surroundings. It's not too far in. Unless you become like a little child, you by no means see the kingdom of God. He's talking about a restoration to innocence. He's talking about being restored back to a place of selflessness, not self-conscious. I've been in church services like this, and a little three-year-old that I loved on before the service and squeezed and hugged will wander from the chair, and mommy will go, and they'll just run up here and just hug my leg and turn and run back. Not self-conscious, not, ooh, everybody saw that. I wonder what I looked like. I wonder what they thought. We've heard the word sophistication our whole life. Well, you need to get more sophisticated. Well, you need to be more. And somehow we think that's a cool word. Look it up. The root meaning of sophistication is the lack of innocence. Ain't that something? The last thing you need is a lack of innocence. The pure in heart shall, no string attached. Come on, our whole lives we've hurt each other. What's in it for you? Where's the catch? Really? Can't be that good. Where's the snag? Fine print. Our whole lives. Nothing's pure. But he is, and we can be. Come on. Man. So in a nutshell, God makes man in his image. Man loses that image and becomes a god unto himself and takes on the image of the fall and the nature of the enemy of God. He becomes selfish. In God's image, he's love. God is love. So man's fulfilled in God. He's rooted in and grafted into the vine. And the same sap in the vine is in the branch and the fruit's on the branch. That's the plan. Man eats the tree. That gets severed. He gets cut off from love, becomes in desperate need of love. God doesn't stop loving him. He gets cut off from the fellowship of love, his created value. He becomes something he's not created to be. The Bible says that every man since that day was born into Adam. And you must be born. Somehow we turned that into a prayer to go to heaven. Instead of a restoration back to the truth and back to the beginning and back to Christ in me, the hope of glory. Back to love, back to purpose, back to destiny, back to his image. So unfortunately, we pray this prayer to go to heaven. We relate to the fall of man and say, we're just people, you know. Well, that was Jesus. It's a wonder he considers us, but thank God we're saved. I usually don't talk that strong. Are we okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt you. That's lies. That's deception. As he is, so are we in this world. Firstborn among many brethren, predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. You need any more scripture? We relate to the fall of man and look up and don't understand the gospel and His love because we see us for who we've been instead of who we're created to be. God's never lost sight of the truth because He is the truth, so He paid to redeem that purpose. It's not just about forgiving you of all the sins you committed and all the sins you're gonna commit. It's about transforming you and bringing you back through His Son to the beginning, redemption, where all things are new. Where all of a sudden, instead of living at the expense of someone, you lay down your life for them. Instead of getting angry, you show mercy. Instead of fighting, you make peace. Everything 180s, because when Adam ate the tree, everything 180'd. Jesus raises from the dead, you believe on Him, back to truth. You get it? Come on, man. Nobody had to go to school to learn to be angry. We all passed with flying colors. Every person in this room, from the time you can remember when you were born, as little as you can remember back, you were in need of love, acceptance, honor, esteem, notoriety, reputation. You were trying to find your value along the way. And a lot of us didn't do well on that journey. We became a product of what was done, what was suggested, what wasn't done, what wasn't suggested. And it's not even you. You're a product of your surroundings and your story. They laugh at you in third grade for your clothes. And you're old enough to take it to heart and feel bad. And then your other two friends chime in and giggle too. And you become one of two things. You either become introverted and broken or hard-hearted and a fighter. It's all deception. And the whole time, we're trying to find ourselves along the way. Watch. In desperate need of love and acceptance. Desperate need to fit in. Why? Because man ate that tree and got cut off from love, but love never changed. Love never failed. Man just doesn't know. So the truth comes to shine light on the picture and draw all men unto Him. Somehow, I'm not happy about this. That's why I say a lot. Somehow we turned it into a prayer to go to heaven and a bunch of promises for blessings and safety and make it till the end, God. Protect me. It is pitiful, Chris. It's so reduced. Instead of transform me, fill me with who You are, and let's let this light so shine before men that they see You and give You glory. Come on. So I don't need you to agree with me. I'd love you to. But my days of hurt, offense, bitterness, backbiting, gossip, jealousy, competition, over 20 years ago, ended. 20 years ago, you can't call my wife to remember one day in 20 years where I filled the house with animosity, frustration, anger, and demeaning language. Not in 20 years, because when I got born again, I understood what I did this time. I wasn't just going to church. I was born again. And who I was wasn't anymore. So when I got baptized, I died. And when I came out of the water, newness of life. And you say, well, brother, some people can make mistakes. I understand. And if you're making a mistake, you're not condemned. So just keep running, get it right, and grow wiser. But let's stop identifying with the flesh. And let's stop being failure waiting to happen. And let's stop being sin in the next minute. Because that's not who I am anymore. I woke up to be a son today, and that's what I'll be. I woke up to live righteous, and that's what I'll live. I woke up accepted, forgiven, and filled with Him. And ain't nobody can change that. Because the just live by faith. So here's why Jesus came. To redeem the truth and restore the truth. He didn't die on a cross because you're a sinner. He died on a cross to restore your value, your purpose, and your destiny. He had to die to pay for your sin and remove your sin. But He didn't die because you're a sinner. He died because what you were intended to be was lost. So He came to save that. Not who. That which was lost. Wow. It's so awesome. We turned it into, well, I hope God forgives me. You know, I want to go to heaven. We make the whole push heaven versus hell. Are you kidding me? It's redemption, transformation, putting on the new. Heaven versus hell. It's not a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's life insurance and selfish. Stop it. Ooh, I feel that. See, I'm down south. I'm in trouble right now. I feel that. You have no idea how some of you are fighting with that right there. It's not heaven to gain, hell to shun. It's you getting back to what you're here for. It's you being a well-oiled machine in the Holy Ghost, fulfilling purpose and living what God created you to be. See, because all it is heaven to gain and hell to shun. You're just as depressed at work. You're just as angry at your boss. You're just as mad at your spouse. And you yell at your kids. But at least you're forgiven and your name's in the book because you prayed that prayer when you were 17. Stop it. It's not Christianity. It's deception. So you can tell I'm not condemning you. You can tell I'm crying out. I didn't come here to tell you what you're not. I came to tell you who you are and why he did what he did. I didn't fly all the way down here to set you straight. I flew down here to cheer you on and tell you who we are. Yeah. Come on, man. Just pray a prayer. If you die tonight and don't know where you're going, that's the stuff we preachers have used as lines for generations. And it's not what Jesus preached. Jesus never said, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, raise your hand, we'll get that covered. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Stop living for you. Stop making a mess of your life by thinking for you and nobody else. Get over you. You were never made for you. Die already so you can live in truth. That's what Jesus says. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. What's pick up your cross? Pick up your cross is suffering for doing good, never letting sin against you produce sin in you, never letting people be the reason for the way you are, but letting Christ already settle that. Taxiing through every unfairness and every unjust situation and never repaying evil for evil, but overcoming evil with good. I am carrying my cross. Why? Because I denied myself. I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven came into me. I'm alive in him and I'm following him. So I'm going to have an amazing day. Yay. So when I fly home, it's not about my flight time, my schedules, the middle seat, back by the Jiffy John. Somebody's got to sit there. Why can't it be you? Oh, I got a middle seat. What about all the other middle seats? Well, I just pray for all the green lights. That means somebody's red. See how we think? We use the gospel for ourselves. When the rent's paid, we dance in church. And if we don't know where the money's coming from, our hands are in our pocket and we're pouting. And we prove something. We don't have the covenant relationship that we can have. We have a business agreement and our business partner ain't panning out. Come on, man. If you're growing weary and well-doing, if your soul is getting sad over your circumstances, it means it's time to grow up and sharpen in your relationship with Jesus and get into this covenant that's amazing. Come on, man. You could lose somebody. You could have a tragedy, but you got to have a way bigger picture than right now. You better see something bigger than right now. You better see something bigger than headlines and phone calls and stuff you weren't expecting. You better have a bigger vision than right now. You guys all right? This isn't too hard to you. You don't feel like I'm beating nobody up, right? I didn't even swing a punch at all. I'm just crying out my heart. In my heart, I didn't swing no punch at nobody. I'm telling you, this is life. These kind of meetings to me are life-giving. They're family meetings, man. The reason we gather isn't because it's Sunday morning and you attend current. The reason we gather is to stir one another in love and good works, not to catch a blessing and go, "Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost on that third song." Okay, great. Are you loving the people around you? Are you living by the Spirit? Are you making peace? Are you in animosity with your own family? Are you saying Jesus is the Lamb and then fighting over where you're eating and what you're eating? Come on, I'm not being mean. I'm being starkly sobering, abruptly raw. So that religion doesn't sneak up and sleep us away. And all of a sudden we've been in all the right places doing all the right things and not becoming what we're created for. And they say, we ate in the with you and supped with you. We were in the streets. We listened. We were where you were. It makes me tremble inside how we've preached the gospel. We've made it so self-serving that we have discouraged Christians everywhere. We have preached the gospel in a way that caters to us, not transforms us. And people are disappointed because it hasn't panned out. And there's people that go to church actually have a, they believe they have a reason to be a little disgruntled and mad at the Lord. That's a sign of the fall right there, buddy. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. What did he go through? He didn't deserve a thing. We're in a war. God is not messing you up. He sent his son while we were yet sinners. He's so good, it's ridiculous. We were living our own way, and he said, I'm the way. Why did he come? You say he didn't have to come. Yes, he did. He's love, and it never fails. But Jesus didn't have to come if he didn't want to. See, he loved. No, he had to come. Because he could not give you a chance to be redeemed. And he believes your life lived is worth him dying on a cross unjustly. Because no one deserved less to die than him. But he hung there. Why? Because he knows the value of your life when he's in you and you're surrendered. And he knows what that looks like. And it's worth a lot to him. To get you back. Why do you think when Jesus raised from the dead and Mary saw him and he said, Mary, and she said, Rabboni, don't think it's just a movie line. Mary watched him die. She saw him beat and disfigured. She watched them men wrap him up from head to toe and put him in a grave and close the stone. And she goes there weeping with ointments and noise. She can't even get in there, but she's there because he's there. She got to lay on the rock and the stone. She can't get in, but she's there. But she gets there that morning. Why? He's the best thing that ever happened to her. She knows he's dead. It don't matter. She's going to be where he is. And she's standing there at that rock probably those other 2 days and just crying and rubbing that stone and reminiscing. But this morning she goes, stones have rolled away. She sees a man kneeling down. He thought it was the gardener. Sir. She said, why are you weeping? He said, why are you weeping? He said, sir. I don't know what she saw, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Sir, if you've taken him, please tell me where so I can go and get him. And he stood up and said, Mary. And she went, can you imagine the emotion? You say, settle down, Pastor. Not today, friend. No, no, no. Look, if you want to let life speak louder than truth, that's between you and God. I'm going to let truth speak way louder than how things seem. Yeah? Oh, I got you on that one. See? She says, he says, Mary. She goes, oh, Rabboni. Now we know in John 20 she was charging him. She was probably in midair going to put on the eternal squeeze. You got away from me once, you ain't getting away again. She's going to wrap his ankles and hold so tight he can't even shake her. Because here's what he said. Don't cling to me, Mary. What's your name?
Angela.
Angela. Can you imagine, Angela? Because I've seen you up there worshiping, and I see your face. You would have been messed up just like Mary. You'd have said, oh, Jesus. Oh. Yeah. And he'd say, Angela, don't cling to me. And you'd have been in midair. Just froze. Because I could see it in your eyes. You love him. You do. I see it in your eyes. It's awesome. So this would have been emotional, wouldn't it? See, just me telling you love him makes you cry. I'm not trying to. Imagine this, Angela. Imagine what Mary was feeling. Yes. She's, and he says, don't cling to me, Mary. Oh. Is he unsocial all of a sudden, Pastor? Doesn't he have time for her? What, is he too clean and holier than thou? The best part hasn't even happened yet. When he said it's finished, he meant the beating necessary to redeem mankind. You don't have to hit me anymore. It's done. I'll die already. Boom. But now he rose from the dead, and what's the best part that's yet to come? What is the whole reason he came? What does he have to do yet? He has to take his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, his blood into heaven and put it on the mercy seat and be the high priest between God and man so that you, son, could get to the Father through him. Oh, it's so important to Jesus that he came and sat in a woman's womb for 9 months, breastfed, had to poop and pee, had to eat, get hot, be tired, live as a man just to win back. I think about that stuff. He is far from an Easter story to me. He is amazing. He has gone beyond out of his way. But to him, he's done nothing extraordinary. It's what love does. Lays down its life for another. So he says, Angela, don't cling to me. And she says, but please, Lord, just one hug. That's what she's thinking. Just one hug. He says, no. Angela, honey, I haven't yet ascended to my Father. Now, them disciples at the supper table, they all said they'd die for him, didn't they? Did you guys read your Bible? Do you know that at the supper table, they all elbowed each other and said, we'll die. He said, no, you won't. He said, they all said behind his back, we'll die. Yeah, we'll die for him. We'll die. He knew they wouldn't. He still broke the bread and passed the cup. He still cut covenant. He didn't say, well, if you guys would get something right, maybe I could go a little farther with you. Come on. You put an average pastor in the feet of Jesus, in his shoes, I mean, and give him them guys and have them do what. He don't even want to minister anymore. He's saying, pastoring would be great if it wasn't for the people. Jesus raises from the dead. He says, Mary, don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my low-life, backstabbing, no-good-for-nothing followers that I got a score to settle with them. See, that ain't what he said. See, we better not read too fast. Well, first we better make sure we read. But when you read, don't read too fast. Don't just read to memorize and quote. Read to understand and know. So ask Holy Spirit. Because, man, I take my time with this thing. I've read that thing a couple hundred times in my life. And it's just alive. It gets bigger. I see it, man. I do. I see it. He said, go tell my brethren. You know what that is? That's a covenant term. That's family. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I haven't changed my mind about you at all. You're still my boys. Ain't he amazing? You don't want to miss that stuff. The people killed him. He's dying for the people. They're killing. Some lady yells out in disdain in the visual Bible movie. It was just whoever, but in the visual Bible movie, some lady says, let his blood be on us and on our children. She said it in disdain and hostility, and in love, he's let that come to pass. Oh! People talk to us like that. We're taking our blood out of the picture. Well, we don't want your stupid money. We don't want your dirty money. Fine, you'll be sure you'll never get it. That's how we respond to each other. She says, let his blood be on us and on our children. He said, exactly. Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That was the plan, girl. It's coming. Not the way you're thinking. Yeah. I love you. What a gospel. You see what's wrong with me? I believe it. Ugh. It's the only thing. I believe it. See, that's special grace on you. If you're really that worked up. No, I believe it. I'm a believer. Good tidings, great joy. Good tidings of great joy. It's not, guys, we're Christians. We ought to be happy. No. Good tidings. What? So you got to. To communicate. Because the Bible says joy unspeakable. You know what's happened to us? We've let everything else matter more. when this matters most. And we've made it about how we feel, what we're going through, who did what, and who didn't. And we take all that to God in prayer, hoping He changes that, because that's what will make us better. It's all idolatry, and that's why there's very little movement of God in those prayers. Because He won't empower you to stay there. He wants to call you out of there. This is not about you. It's about His image in you. It's about you and Him being one and shining as a light. It's about you loving your community and laying down your life for the people of Van Buren. No matter what they appreciate or deserve.
Yes, yes.
It's the goodness of God that leads men to change.
Amen.
You can shout and hold up hater signs and tell them they need to get repentant and they're serving the devil all you want. That ain't going to change nobody. You lay down your life and love somebody when they know they didn't earn it or deserve it, it messes with them. Puts hot coals on their head. When you give a drink of cold water to what looks like an enemy, it messes with them.
Yeah. If you preach the gospel clear, it messes with them.
Not, well, you need to believe on Him. You can't come. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And it sounds like we're preaching the gospel and they're going, well, what's the big deal? Well, so why? Why would I receive Him? Why do I need to forgive Him? Well, why does He love me? Well, no, you got to share that He's redeeming original created purpose and value, and that you have a greater destiny than living for yourself. Living for yourself is why you feel lonely inside. Living for yourself is why you have needs and why you're never fulfilled. Living for yourself is why we're hurt and disappointed, because we're making everybody else determine who we are and how we're doing, and we're always let down in that arena. You die to yourself and live for His image. Now you can finally love, and you're already free.
Amen.
He said, I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren, I'm going to my Father and your Father. What's He making us?
Sons.
One, family, sons. Yay, it all fits, right? I'm going to my Father and your Father. The word Father there means come forth from. To come forth from. He said, and I'm going to my God, and the word God means source of life. When you call God your Father God, you're saying, I came forth from the source of life.
Praise God.
That sure beats evolution or a mud puddle.
Because in a mud puddle, you really have no purpose. You just have happenstance. But in the gospel, you have purpose, intent, and reason for being. Why do men flounder through life and flop through life? Because they have no reason for being. They're trying to find purpose in it all. And in life, life comes and life goes. What a bummer. You heap up stuff for yourself and you die anyway and leave it behind. And people in their heart without the gospel, I don't care what they say, really aren't super encouraged. And they have a fear of the unknown. It's a known fact. It's a rat race without the gospel.
Amen.
And see, the problem is you can look like you're winning the race and you're still a rat. So you got the million plus bucks and you got the big house and you got the pretty wife and you got the four kids and the big IRA and all that stuff. But for what? Because unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if it would ever die and fall to the ground, it'll spring up. That's what I see with these young people. Seeds dying and falling on the ground saying, you know what? None of this matters anymore. I have to know Him. And all of a sudden in that have to know Him, the seed springs up and starts bearing much fruit. Oh, can't even talk about it without you losing it, man. You are done. You're done. You just even talk about it and you're inside. It's bigger than we can communicate. I'm telling you. I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. She runs back, guys, I saw Him. And if you read the other Gospels, that didn't go over real well. Doubt, unbelief. Yeah? Two men were on the road to Emmaus. He shows up. They go about evening time. They break bread and their eyes were open. And he went, boop. He's had a busy day that day. He's boop. And they're like, that was the Lord. Didn't our hearts even burn when He spoke? That was the Lord. And they're like, dude, yeah, there it is, the Lord. Right? Same day in the evening, John 20, it's in your Bible, John 20, same day in the evening, he walked into the room where they're assembled for fear of the Jews. They're not in a prayer meeting. They're afraid they're going to die. The guys that said they'll die for him are still huddled, afraid they're going to die. He walks right in the middle of that and says, peace to you. Oh. He walks right into the middle of that and says, peace to you. Just walks in the room, wherever he came from. Peace to you. He didn't say, you bunch of idiots. Oh, yeah, said you'd die for me, huh? Why are you here in a corner boo-hooing? Why ain't you out there changing the world? Maybe I should have gave this gospel to some other men. Maybe I didn't hear your names on the beaches. Maybe I got deceived. Because you sure ain't producing any fruit. He said, peace to you. You know why? Because he was just... Did he say, I'm ascending to the Father? So if he said, I'm ascending to the Father, did he? Wow. Why? Because he put his blood there. Why did he say peace to you? Because you have now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ being justified by faith. He just made peace between God and man. He said, peace to you. Why? His blood's speaking better things. They're sitting there in the middle of sin and fear, and he says, peace to you. Why? Because his blood speaks better things. He separates you from your flesh. He separates you from your weakness, and he makes a draw on your destiny. His love goes after your purpose and your potential. He isn't here just saying, well, I'll forgive and forget. No, he says, that isn't even who you are. I can get over that because I'm going to make you new. And I'm going to put away the old and I'm going to bring out the new. This thing isn't about just getting forgiven. It's about getting transformed. So then he says, peace to you. And they're like, whoa. And it says, and they were glad when they felt him and touched him. He showed him his side, said, hey. And it said, when they were glad when they saw it was the Lord. So there was this moment of, wow, it's really you. And immediately he says the second time, peace to you. Why? Because what hits him immediately when they realize it's really him? What do you think hits him immediately? The guilt of how they acted. The shame of being there in fear when he's really the Lord. Of not trusting him when he was totally trustable. So he says the second time, peace to you. Why? Because he's comforting their souls. He doesn't want them sitting there in that place. He's pulling them out of that. And then he says, watch. As the Father, they've done not one thing right. Peace to you. Oh, it's you. Peace to you. Watch. Oh, it's you. Feel bad. Peace to you. Second time. And then he says, watch. As the Father sent me, so I send you. You say, well, he's talking to the disciples. No, he's talking to you. Because Matthew 28, he says, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything I taught you. So if he's talking to Peter, James, and John, he's talking to me. Well, brother, he's talking to the 12. No, he's talking to the world. Amen. As the Father sent me. We always think power and miracles. How'd the Father send him? For God so. Isn't that awesome? For God so. It didn't say, for God was so antagonized with people and at wit's end and at the end of his rope that he finally sent his son. For God so loved the world, he gave. And as the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he did something remarkable. You know what he did? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he just say, receive the Holy Spirit? He holds all things together by the word of his power. He could have just lined them up and said, be filled, 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 filled. Why did he breathe on them? Because he's the Redeemer. He brings man back to the beginning. What was lost in the beginning, he's restored. He took him back to the beginning when God breathed into man. Because his blood is there now speaking better things. So here's what he literally did. He took what was a form and just a shadow of what it was intended to be, called man that was fallen. And God had this image for man, and let me make man in my image. We breathed in him and man began. So Jesus, through his blood, comes. And the first thing he does to his followers and believers is breathe on them. Why? It's day one. Duh! Watch. Day one, as if the tree never happened. As if sin never was. And we say, yeah, but brother, we're always going to sin. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead to sin. Stop believing in sin. Stop boasting in sin. Stop identifying with sin. Believe in righteousness, because a righteous conscience will produce a holy life without you trying to be holy. So you won't get no credit. You are what you are by the grace of God. You're a believer. You're not trying to clean up. The gospel has done that. You're not trying to change your heart. He gave you a new one. Yeah? So if I wake up and believe I'm a son, forgiven and redeemed and filled with his spirit and washed in his blood, what am I going to live like? A son. And all of a sudden, everything that drove me before has no ability to even get in the car. Because I'm changed. And I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. I came back to the Father. We always say, Jesus, the way to heaven. He didn't even say that. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. So what is Jesus? The way to heaven? No, the way back to the eternal one. Of course you'll live forever. It's not the goal. The goal is you being back to the Father. Let's read our Bibles. Oh. Receive, Holy Spirit. He takes them back to day one as if sin never happened. And then what does he say? He just told them to go change the world. He said, go as the Father sent me. And he says, now watch this. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven. What's he saying? If you go out there like I came here to you, and you love them like I've loved you.
Yes.
Even in their weakness. Even in saying one thing and doing another. Arguing over who's going to have the best position in heaven. And all the things that get behind me. Peter. Satan. If you go out and love them like I've loved you. If you forgive their sins will be forgiven. Why? Because they'll see my love and know the way to me through you. Why? Because you're my body. You don't just attend current church. You're my body, my expression, my people. But if you retain the sins of others, if you fail to see them the way I see them, your hearts will get hard, you'll get judgmental, you'll get in religion, you'll get critical, you'll get into legalism. Next thing you know, can't cut your hair, can't wear, can't dress, can't do, yeah, and nobody even wants God. If you forgive like I've forgiven you, they'll know forgiveness. If you retain like I never retained to you, then how will they know me if you are me on the earth? Yeah? That's just rock solid, beautiful preaching, Dan. So see, watch this. Watch this. Do you actually believe that I'm going to believe what I'm telling you and have people issues today? Do you believe I'm going to say, well, I can't believe she said that. Well, that hurt. Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not going to be a good day for that either. He said, what? I'm already so consumed with what he said. What you say can't even reach me. Are you serious? People issues, tit for tat, he said, she said. Do you know what's wrong with me? I don't have issues. I've got answers and I have a covenant. And we all have the same thing and we all have the same value. So I'm not lording myself over you saying I got something you don't. I'm saying we're all in this together. So let's run well and be a family. That's what Sunday mornings are all about. Cheering each other on in the purpose, in the cause. Walking out of these doors looking a little more like him than when we came.
And a little more like him, plus a little more like him, plus a little more like him, starts becoming him. I was on a plane one day, and years ago, it would have probably freaked me out, but this lady was trembling. I was ministering to her, and God just showed me stuff, and she was spooky freaked out. Like, I saw stuff. I mean, I even knew time frames. I said, man, for 20 plus years, you've been on a prescription drug. There's pains all down through here. And she started trembling. She said, oh my God, 22 years it was. I said, for 20 plus years, it was 22. It was chronic fibromyalgia. And we were talking, and then I heard something else about her. And I said, and she's trembling, and she's just shaking. And I said, honey, it's okay. I want to pray for you. She said, I'm so overwhelmed. I said, it's okay. It's a good thing. Don't be overwhelmed in a scared way. Well, come on, God. She said, no, I feel peace. I feel comfort. I'm just overwhelmed because I feel like I'm sitting here talking to Jesus. And I smiled real big and said, you are. You are, honey. He lives right inside of me, and we're one. We got this thing going on, and he happens to love you and know you, so he's just speaking through me, and he's rocking your world. Now give me your hands. Boom. And every symptom left her body on the plane. She just shaking. That sure beats being caught up in my flight schedule in my seat. And boy, flying's miserable, and man, this traveling sure wears me down, and I don't know if I can do this much longer. People say, you do 45 weekends a year, man, that's got to get to you. Traveling wears you out. Yeah, in Adam's world. Jesus didn't even fly all over the place. He walked. Every day. And if everything that he did was written one by one, the world wouldn't contain the books. Sounds like a pretty amazing, fruitful life. People thronging him all the time, staying up all night praying, didn't even sleep. You can hardly find that he slept in the Bible one time in a storm just to prove a point to his disciples, I think. I think he just decided to take his forced nap or something, yeah. I just don't think he slept much. I think he's so full of life. I don't think he was like, well, I'm an 8 hour, well, I'm a 10 hour, I'm a 12 hour. I'm a Rumpelstiltskin, baby. I'd do it for years. No, I think we relate to a fallen man. I think we've studied Adam, and we're following Adam, and we need to get over here and follow Jesus without getting competitive, comparison, and weird. I just think there's life in the Spirit that we need to scratch into and claw into and dare believe. I think there's life in the Spirit that changes things. Gets in my heart and in my mind and changes my eye, brings light in the face of whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm actually free.
Glory.
Wow. Better yet, I look in a mirror and actually like me now. Like, I think I'm pretty cool in God. Like, that's not vanity. I look in a mirror and I go, dude, you're awesome. Serious. Not because I'm handsome. It's not because I'm cool. I think I look flaky probably to you. I'm not the best looking guy. But I'll tell you what. I know the integrity of my heart. And I know my conscience is clear. And I know I sleep at night. I know I wake up and feel good about my life. I know my heart is so full of joy it doesn't even seem fair. I really like me now. I like who I've become. I look in a mirror and smile instead of look away. I look in a mirror and instead of trying to be somebody else, I'm glad I'm me. I don't know a whole ton of folks that can actually sincerely say that, that even go to church. They still remember yesterday and how their dad didn't love them and the mistake they made 2 years ago and how Johnny broke their heart and how... I remember the day he came and made me new. I remember the day Dan died so Dan could live.
That's what I remember. And anything before that really doesn't matter to me anymore.
You see, yeah, but your childhood. Yeah, I am a child. I'm still in it. I just know that I live with me and my heart is so full, I can't even describe it. And it's not because everything circumstantially goes well all the time. That's even rare to even come close to that, people. Yeah. I'm not this way because my ducks are in a row. Whose ducks are in a row? We're this way because he's Lord and has a plan. And he's judged us in righteousness. And our destiny is intact and for sure. Amen. So the just shall live by faith. So if you're not born again, get born again. I'm not even having another call. Just come to the pastor. Come to somebody at a door and say, hey, I want to get born again. And I want them to put me in that water. I'm ready to die. And then I want them to bring me out when the bubbles stop. Just make sure. Get two strong men when the bubbles stop.
bring me out. Oh, it's awesome. If you have faith like I do, I do good baptisms. You pull them under. And when it's about 40 seconds after that last vibration, you got them. You push a little and there's no more bubbles. You bring them up and they, whoo, it's new life. It's new life. See, because it never was about going to heaven. It was about dying. And dying is what puts eternal life back into you. Why? Because he never made Adam to die. So of course we'll never die because he never made Adam to die. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely... There was no death there. So Jesus redeemed that. And even though we die because of sin and our bodies die because of sin, we'll never die. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Don't be afraid of death ever. Don't be wigged out by death. He's the end of the fear of the bondage of death, which held us captive all our lives. Jesus is the end of that. Don't be afraid of death. Don't let a doctor tell you, well, you're going to die, and go, and let your whole motive of prayer be the fear of death. Your whole motive of prayer is the promise of life, longevity, purpose, fearless. You have no authority over what you fear. You have a bunch of principles in a book, and that's what you'll reduce them to, instead of a covenant and promises. Whatever you fear, you have no authority over. Remember that, church. Yeah? Cha. So if you're not born again, I don't know why after this morning. Get born again. Get somebody here to... Leaders, just leaders in the church. People that would pray with somebody that gets born again here that would come up to you and say, just raise your hands if you're a leader in this church and they could come to you if they got born again. Look around at somebody raising their hand if you're not born again. You go to them and say, man, that rocked me. I'm done living for me. And I want to set up a time to get water baptized. Can you pray with me and walk me through whatever I need to know? You guys will walk them through it and it'll be awesome. Amen. You say, why don't you just have an altar call? I'd rather you be bold and sure and sincere and not be pulled by your emotions and you just go find them. Because if you go find them and tell them to put you in there, I know you're serious. Yeah? I want you to go find them. I'm telling you, somebody in here today, it'd be good if you find one of these leaders and say, I'm ready to get saved. All right? If you are saved, then stay on fire and be holy and fully committed. And let's not miss the grace of God that's been pouring out on our lives, okay? Listen, I love you. It's a Sunday morning. I don't feel a whole lot more in my heart. It's only 11:30. I probably had to close to 12. I don't know. Maybe I'm overtime. I don't know. But I feel like I'm just revving up a little. But I'm going to be gentle with you, and I'm going to be easy. I feel like I said enough this weekend. I believe I said enough for you to run well. So you be sincere, and you be upright in your own heart and conscience, because you have to live with you. And I want you to like you, like he loves you. And I want you to do justice to your conscience. Don't violate your conscience. It shipwrecks your faith. If you have convictions, follow them. If you mess up, face it. Run to God. Don't run from him. The day of fig leaves is over. Stay dressed in righteousness. Yes. And have relationship with God. Stop fighting. Stop arguing. Stop judging. Don't call it normal. It's what we were trained by. It's not what we were created for. So let's get retrained, refathered, reborn. Fair enough? Look, I love you. It's been a fun weekend. If you want to pray for anybody or do anything or have any altar ministry or whatever you want to do, you can do it. I'm just going to sit down. I feel done. If I keep talking, I'll make a mistake. All right? I love you guys. Yeah.